Good morning, a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Reading from the Washington Post this morning, America's global standing is at a low point. The pandemic made it worse. At home, President Trump's handling of the pandemic has created division and confusion rather than a national strategy. The global community, meanwhile, is questioning the U.S.'s capacity for a leadership role at a time when crises call for cooperation. We see also a new poll finds support for President Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic at a new low. The Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, says just 32% of Americans say they support his strategy.
Well, David, what I can't understand is where those 32% come from. This president once described the whole thing as a Democratic hoax. Just try to concentrate on those words, a Democratic hoax. Remember, here was a president who should have been protecting us and making sure everybody got tested and who was saying that there would only be 5 or 15 cases in the United States. In other words, none. And now you see what has happened to people, grandparents and children and other people. So where the 32% comes from, I don't know. The fact of the matter is that's what leadership is supposed to do. To this day, if this president were to do certain things, which was, for example, to mandate that everybody in this country wore a mask, mandate it. So you have to do it or you get a $500 fine, people would do it. It would go down, and he still isn't doing it. I'm not saying that this president is responsible for this because a lot of countries are experiencing it. But this president is responsible for the fact that this country is in really bad shape compared to some others. And that's something that we have to really think about.
Meanwhile, the money. White House pushes narrow virus aid. Pelosi blasts GOP delay. Sunday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi assailed Republican disarray over new pandemic relief as the White House suggested a narrow effort might be necessary, at least for now. Your thoughts on this much-needed relief?
Well, there are going to be a lot of people who can't put food on the table. If you can't extend the unemployment benefits, if you can't find the money in your bank account, that's the U.S. money, if you can borrow what you need to keep people happy, they're going to react. We know that. And we are seeing signs in our cities of real serious discontent. I don't like it one bit. I think that there are ways to protest, but violence is not one of them. And I happen to believe that violence plays into this president's hands, because that's what he wants people to believe, that he's going to go in and do law and order when he is responsible, as I have just said, for much of what has happened. And the localities are saying, hey, we know better than you do, stay out, and he won't do it. Governor Cuomo told me specifically that he had called the White House and that the president had agreed not to send people in, as he has in Portland and other places. So the idea that he is now breaking his word and coming back to the rhetoric of sending people back into New York is extraordinary to me. It exacerbates, of course, the tensions between the governor and the mayor of New York City. The governor keeps saying people have to be protected, and of course he's right about that. So I'm just simply saying we are at a place where this president could do all kinds of things. He's not doing them. You mean to say in the greatest country in the world with the greatest scientific achievements that we can't figure out a way to give somebody a spot check on whether they have this virus or not? I don't believe that for a second. I know we can do it, and the fact that we're not doing it is just outside anything that I understand about what this country is capable of doing.
Meantime, we have a presidential campaign now less than 100 days away, Alan. The other thing we've been waiting on is Joe Biden's vice presidential pick. Susan Rice's advantage, a long work history with Biden, a deep dive by the Washington Post suggesting that she may be his preferred pick against Susan Rice.
David, when it comes to the vice presidential pick, here's what is really important. You know, vice presidents have limited utility. Joe Biden was used effectively. Other vice presidents have not been. The most important thing is that if the president of the United States fails, the vice president can step in and do the job. You know, if you're a mayor of a city, very nice. If you're a state legislator or a congressperson, very nice. But if you've had experience on the national stage, and Susan Rice has, and she does fit all the checkmarks. She's of color. She is terrific when it comes to understanding international relations. To me, she becomes a very strong candidate. As for the others, good, but if the criteria is the ability to take over and step in, that's the one thing that Rice has.
Well, and then, of course, you have to vote for the candidates coming in November. Wealthy donors pour millions into fight over mail-in voting. In Wisconsin, cities have received $6.3 million from an organization with ties to left-leaning philanthropy to help expand vote by mail. Meanwhile, a well-funded conservative group, best known for its focus on judicial appointments, is spending heavily to fight cases related to mail-in balloting procedures in court.
Okay, so it's quite simple. The Republicans know, and always have practiced this, that if they can limit the amount of people who go, that that will affect the Democrats more than it affects the Republicans. It's that simple. The conservatives know it. That's why they're doing what they're doing. The president knows it. That's why he keeps talking about fraud. A president who, by the way, votes by mail and who is in a very tough spot because he is trying to sell the idea to people that there is fraud when there really isn't. There may be an occasional case, but when it comes to getting everybody to vote, it's very important that this happens.
A sign of change, Alan. John Lewis makes final crossing over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. 55 years ago, Alabama state troopers beat Lewis and hundreds of protesters as they crossed the bridge. On Sunday, law enforcement paid tribute to the late civil rights leader.
Well, you know, there's such a thing in this world as right and wrong. John Lewis, who I had the privilege to meet, is a guy who symbolizes what is possible when it comes to active political protest. And David, not only active political protest, but the ability to excite so many people as to the potential of what political action can mean and do.